is the fourth chapter. But I want to say prior to that is this particular passage that you're going to hear today is probably one of the cleanest and clearest statements in the Christian witness as to what the church is. I mentioned to you that the Kramer class on Thursdays has been studying over the last few weeks. What is the church? Looking at Old Testament, New Testament passages, and trying to get a sense of how the church clarified what is the nature of the church. So when you listen to this, I want you to pay particular attention to what it may say to us as the community of faith. So often we think of church as mortar and bricks and lawn and property, maybe some of the activities that take place, but what is the true nature of what the church is called to be do? Because it's such an important passage, I'm going to focus on parts of it the next 3 weeks. And I'm going to put companion passages with it to help highlight each of these aspects. So this day, I'm going to focus particularly on the first 6 verses and connect it with Corinthians. Let us listen for God's word. Paul says, I therefore, the prisoner in the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, and making every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in all. But each of us was given grace according to the measure of Christ's gift. The gifts were that some were to be apostles or prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for the building up the body of Christ, until all of us have come to the unity of faith and to the knowledge of the Son of God, to maturity, to the measure of the full stature of Christ. We must no longer be children tossed to and fro and blown about by every wind of doctrine, by people's trickery, by their craftiness and deceitful scheming. But speaking of the truth in love, we must grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ. From whom the whole body, joined and knit together by every ligament with which it is equipped, as each part is working properly, promotes the body's growth in building itself up in love. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Paul says, I beg you to lead a life worthy of the calling to which you have been called. What is your calling? That's the key question in this passage. Each of us has been given gifts. Each of us has given us life. And the question we have to answer is, what is God calling us to use our life and our gifts for? What is it in the life of the church, in the life of the world in which we live, that we are here? What is our purpose? What is our calling? Now, too often when we think of calling, we only think of those who are called to ministry. We think of pastors, maybe educators, maybe musicians. But are they the only ones who are called? Are not others called in their life to use their gifts for the purposes? I believe many of you are also called with your gifts. Some of you have been in teaching professions. Some have been in healing professions. Some of you are in the process of making goods for people to enjoy and to consume, to give them life. There are plumbers and carpenters. There are parents. There are all kinds of folks who have gifts and callings, and you are those folks. Each and every one of you has a calling that is yours. The trick is for you to uncover it, to discover it, and to make full use of it. Now, what gift and calling might you have? Think on that for a moment. In light of God's call to you, the service to the world in which He's called us to, what is your unique gift and call? You know, it is a precious thing to be loved by God and cared in such a degree that He understands that I want to give you something specially to you that you can use, make use of, to make a difference in the world. To make a difference in the world. A positive difference. Some of you have not lived life very long. Some have lived a great deal of it. But what is that thing which God has wanted to make use of in you to make a difference in the world in which you live? The people in which you come in contact with on a day-to-day basis. For some, it's easier to attribute. We think of teachers and the incredible impact they make on their students. We all think of a particular teacher we've known at different stages in our life. Could have been preschool, elementary school, middle school, high school, college or further. Particular teachers that somehow had such a passion for what they were doing, had such an excitement for what they knew that they wanted to share with you and have you kind of catch the flame of it, to appreciate the full sense of what it is. And those are the teachers we recall and remember, reflect upon and celebrate. Those are the ones who we point to and say, you know, in their class, they made a difference in how I see the world and how I view myself in the world. There are those who have been caregivers in our life. They can be parents, grandparents, aunts, uncles, others. People who have shaped us because of their choosing to follow the calling to be a part of a family, a very intimate family, in which to nurture others in their faith and in their daily living. And that is a calling. Not everyone is called to it. And that's okay if you're not called to that. You have some other gift to make use of. But for those who have that sense of calling of nurturance and care, who want to mentor others to learn as much as they can about life so they can live most fully and completely, you can really touch the lives of others as you probably already have. Now, the thing about teaching and about parenting in particular is sometimes you don't see the fruits of your labors for a while. And on parenting, sometimes you wonder whether you can get any impact whatsoever. And then all of a sudden, after you pass through that period of being stupid and don't really understand the world at all, and not having much to offer, all of a sudden, as your children get older, they discover you're actually a lot smarter than they thought. Life's much more difficult than I imagined, and gosh, how have you navigated your way through this? There's so many challenges each and every day as days go by and years go upon years that we need to find our way. But others have gone before you. Parents and teachers and others in the community of faith have gone before you, and so they may have something to offer you. Some tidbit of advice, some kind word, some encouragement, some word of truth, that in it you can be fed and nurtured and continue to evolve as the full person that God wants you to be. Now, Frederick Buechner, who is quite a bit of a writer and a poet in himself, wrote a book years ago called Wishful Thinking, A Theological ABC. And he would take particular key words and he would begin to interpret it. And one of the words that he particularly made use of is a word called vocation. Vocation. Vocal, vocar, which is Latin, just means to call. He defines vocation as that which you most need to do may somehow match it what the world most needs to be done. Or put another way, he said, call is the sense in which God places you where your deep gladness and the world's deep hunger need. Where does the world's deep hunger and your gladness need in your life? If you have found that place, then you have found that where God is calling you to be and do. Now, if you sell deodorant, it certainly is important because it does help the quality of relationships which we may enjoy. I wouldn't necessarily call it a deep, dark hunger in the world. But there may be something else that is provided by that means of what you offer. There may be other things which you do in your life, in your relationships and friendships and your family and your neighborhood that truly makes a difference, that you have a passion for, that really lights your fire. And when you follow your passion in such a profound, simple way, it usually leads to some need the world has that you are meeting. That's the sense of call which I think Paul is talking about. And we all have a call of some kind. The challenge is for us to uncover or discover what it is and to attempt to, as faithful as we can, he says, I beg you to lead a life worthy of the calling to which you have been called. Now this does seem to suggest, and I would caution you against, the fact that there's only one thing you ever could be called to do, and you couldn't change and have God call you to do something else. For anyone who's lived life for a time, we've gone through maybe a series of those different kinds of call. Where God taps you on the shoulder and says, it's fine what you've been about, but now I have something new I need you to be about. And what is it? And how can I make use of my gifts in following it? How can I find encouragement in the community of faith? How can I live that out to the best of my ability? We all know people, maybe you're one of those people, who've made some dramatic changes in your life. From what you started out doing early in your life to now what you're doing. And that's okay. Because I think God's call on us can continue to ring true in such a way that we can not follow where God is leading us at this time in our life. Maybe with a new passion, a new gift discovered. There's another part of Paul's passage here in the first six verses, which I think is important to note, which is the sense of unity in which we share this journey, in which we follow our calling. We are all united because it's the same God who calls us, provides us with gifts and services and activities for all the similar purpose, to minister to the world in which we live. And the two key passages which speak to that is Matthew 25, which talks about loving our neighbor. In Matthew 28, it talks about us sharing the good news of God's grace and discipling others in living out that grace. Loving neighbor is a key element to part of the calling that all of us have in common. It is not unique to social workers and to those who are pastoral ministry. I know that there are more than a few lawyers and doctors and others who are engaged in those kinds of caring ministries that can make a difference in the lives of others. We are united in our calling, even though our callings may be unique and special in their own way. And some of us may be still trying to discover what that particular calling is for us at this time. That's all right. The gift God gives us is the community in which we can find ourselves, the community of faith, who shares that commonality. Shares that understanding of the joint purpose in our individual parts in living out that purpose and mission. And how we can support and encourage one another in that process of discovering, in the process of developing, and in the process of sharing and using our gifts in the world in which we live. Paul in Corinthians, in our passage read today, talks about everyone has a manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For the common good. Too often we ignore the sense in which there is just a goodness that needs to be lived, that we share in common, that the world desperately needs. And the faith community is one of those witnesses that's a light on the hill that attempts to show what it means to truly care for one another, what it means to forgive one another, what it means to put things behind us and open ourselves up to a new future. This church stands on the precipice of a search for a new pastor. An important work. And those who are going to be called to be on that pastor nominating committee will come out through the voice of this congregation and serve in this special way in this time in their life. And when you read the back of the nomination form, it talks about the sense which some of the qualities are: an openness to discern God's Spirit, we have time, energy, and flexibility to be involved in this adaptable work of discerning who the next leader of this church will be. To join you as you move into God's future. To live out your purpose united in Christ. You have chosen this place to be your community of faith, many of you. And so it is together you need to continue to discover what that calling is as a whole. What is unique about you? What special gifts do you have? Where are the world's deep hungers and your deep gladness, and how do they come together? What new challenges and risks do you need to open yourself up to discover where God wants you to go? I think your future can be bright and glorious, but we need to open ourselves up to where God may be leading all of us in Christ. Paul says, lead a life worthy of the calling to which you have been called. Whatever your calling is, he invites you to join him in living that life which God wants you to live, not only for yourself, but for others and for the world.
This is good news.